This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Glad to be with you on this Monday afternoon, the first day of football practice around the state of Michigan for high school football. Colleges also open practice today. Michigan State begins their practice today, and we'll have a lot of information from their media day later on this week, tomorrow and on, right here on AM 870. But we do have some comments from Coach Mark D'Antonio from the first practice on Saturday. We went to that one, and Mark told us some things that are going to be happening for the season. And we'll run that for you later on, right here on AM edition of Sports Talk 870. Give us a call, talk sports with us. But right now, we're going to talk with Desmond Ferguson, who just finished the ninth year of the Moneyball Pro-Am Summer League. And I didn't realize, I mean, I've been around here so long and years just fly by, but I didn't realize that Desmond had started the Money League 9 years ago. But Desmond, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Okay. Yeah, I almost didn't suspect that you'd been on around for 9 years. Boy, the years fly by, don't they?
Oh, man, time go by fast, you know, and like I said, we just finished up number 9, so it'll be lucky number 10 next year.
Yes, that was a great game yesterday. You know, the black team down the green team, 113-111. Incoming freshman from Michigan State scored 35 points. So it was a good game. You had a lot of good players from the Spartans this year contributing and playing throughout the year. How was it for you this year? I know you thanked a lot of people that have been helping you over these last 9 years, but this year had to be special with the second year at Pattingale, and things really worked out well over there, didn't they?
Yeah, this was the first time in a while we've been able to play at the same gym 2 years in a row. You know, we've been jumping from gym to gym, so I think that helped us, help the fans know where the games are going to be, because we had a good crowd last year, and, you know, this year was our best crowd. So, you know, we had the players, they committed to coming every weekend, and, you know, when you had the players playing well and coming consistently, you know, then the fans follow suit.
Yes, so that ended up being a great program for you, and you got the fans involved, a lot more involved. I remember now, it was a little slow in those early years, but it's, you know, I think this is something you just have to do regularly to get the fans to get used to it and to get used to coming, isn't it?
Yeah, with social media so big now, you know, players saying they're going to play in the Moneyball Pro-Am, and, you know, we tweet and Facebook and stuff, so I think the word gets out. And, you know, obviously being on your show definitely helps us. So it's all about really getting the word out and letting people know we are, because, like I said, this is a basketball city, and, you know, people will come watch some free basketball, especially when you got good players such as the players from the Lansing area and then the MSU guys.
How have you seen, you know, I know, you, as you said, one of the statements, one of the problems you want to do help players get jobs and things overseas. Has that helped much? Were you able to get many guys, some overseas contracts?
Well, I wouldn't say the program directly helps people get overseas, but I think it helped them stay in shape and play competitive games and, you know, maybe get some game tape. But, you know, guys like Justin Ingram and Jonathan Jones and, you know, Muhammad El-Amin, Derek Nelson, those guys have been playing overseas the last couple of years. So I wouldn't say it gets them a job, but it keeps them active and, you know, keeps them going in a competitive spirit throughout the summer.
Now, what does it do for the players? Because, as you know, they don't play a ton of defense out there, but the offense is very good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, that's typical summer league ball. You know, there's not a whole lot of structure as far as defensive principles, offensive principles, so it's a lot of free will. But I think it's particularly good for those guys coming out of high school, going to the next level, such as, you know, Denzel Valentine and, you know, Gary Harris and Costello and those guys, because it allows them to play against pros as well as, you know, guys that have already played at their college level. So I think it's good for those guys going in and get that type of experience.
Yeah. What kind of experience do they get? Because, like you say, they play against pros, and for a lot of them, it's the first time playing against guys in pros. What do you think they get out of that? What do they learn from going up against more experienced players?
Well, coming from the high school level, you know, and then jumping up to the, you know, college and pro level, the level of physicality. I mean, guys are, you know, a little more physical, a little more athletic, you know, more skilled. So, you know, you more than play against guys that's on your level. You may still be a little better, or some guys may be better than you, but it brings out the competitive spirit, and you know, I think that's the good thing about it.
Were you surprised about all the people that showed up this year? Because you had great crowds this year.
Not completely surprised. Like I said, that was my vision for, you know, 9 years ago when we started, you know, for the crowd to be there, for it to be packed, you know, for the players to be there. Like I said, I think the guys have just made the commitment to come, and, you know, the guys that we usually have on rosters are pretty good players. And, you know, I feel that most of the fans that come are basketball fans, so it's always good to see good basketball. But I'm definitely glad that the fans did come out, and, you know, we had our best crowds, you know, each and every weekend this year more than the previous years.
Now, you just recently were named the new head coach of Lansing Everett. It's a team that's pretty relatively small these last few years. I know you've been an assistant coach. You have any plans? What will you do to try to get more height out there for your team?
Well, we won't. You know, we're pretty much working with the guys we have. You know, what I was disappointed as assistant coach last year was just the effort. You know, one thing we have to hang our hat on is playing hard and being aggressive. I think we could kind of use our size to advantage in some situations. Of course, we'll be at disadvantage going against some of the teams that have, you know, big guys. But I think we could use our quickness and and from a defensive standpoint and create some turnovers and get some easy buckets.
Yes. So you're going to be hanging your head on the defense of Everett. Is it hard, you think, to get kids to play defense these days?
No. I mean, when you look at Lance and Sexton, what they've done the last couple of years of winning state championships, obviously they have some great skill guys on the offensive end, but, you know, you're looking from a defensive end and, you know, the way Coach Valentine coached them, I mean, they were, to me, the best defensive team in the state, and, you know, that result the championship. So, you know, it's the old saying, defense wins championships, and that's so true. So I think, you know, guys are really buying to and recognize that defense is really what championships and what's going to be able to, what's going to put us in position to win some ball games.
So this will help you a lot because as you said, you're building a team or building a program. What does it take to build a program? You know, especially this is your first year. So you name the principals, but what else do you have to do to help build a program?
Well, I think you know, guys really have to buy into the program and what the principles of the program is about. You got to have guys that's working hard and working together as a team. All for the ultimate goal of you know, of winning and winning as a team as opposed to individuals. And I think that's, you know, as of last year, you know, guys were, you know, a little individual, self-based, but it's really based on the team and, you know, playing together, like I said, and carry out the principles that I'm going to give them and really believing in each other, you know, believing in myself and believing in your teammates. That's what it's all about.
And we're talking with Desmond Ferguson, the new head coach at Lansing Everett. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. And our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And Desmond, we wanted to talk to you about the Pro-Am. How have you seen the Pro-Am League grow over all these 9 years? Where do you think it is now from where it was 9 years ago?
I think, that, like I said, first of all, the player commitment is better. And then, you know, guys are better. I mean, you know, when we started, you know, the Valentines and those guys were in elementary, you know, and, you know, so they got a chance to, over the years, to grow up watching the league and want to be a part of the league, you know, similar to how you see, you know, Cha-Cha on the side, and, you know, he'll be playing next year. So I think it's become a, you know, a part of the community, something guys have looked forward to and really take serious because of the level of competition. And, you know, as a basketball player, you know, it's really all about that competition. That's the challenge. And I think, you know, everybody pretty much been accepting the challenge. But, you know, guys just really making a commitment. And, you know, and coming to play consistently every weekend. You know, sometimes in the summer, you know, people are traveling, whether it be family reunions or going out of town. But for the most part, guys have been coming.
Yes, now I've been surprised that over the years you get so many guys to come and commit for the summer league. Was it a problem getting guys to commit during the summer league, or was that just natural because there was no league in the area, in the Michigan area, so did they just sort of gravitate to the league?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you don't have some, people understand how it should be. So, I mean, you know, I have some personal relationship with a lot of guys that play, so I let them know how important it is that they be there for themselves, you know, that they be there for the community, because this is a community-based event that we want to, you know, strive and succeed in. And I think we'll be able to done that, you know, like I said, with the guys coming. Because once the guys come and the games are good, then, you know, word spreads about that the games are good, or so-and-so is going to be there, this person had 30 or 40 or played well, then that draws the crowd in.
Now, I know you've won three or four championships in this league, and you know, I've teed you in the past that you sort of stack the teams in your favor.
Yeah, you know, you get that every year, man. Of course, our team is going to be good, but, you know, when we win, he stacked his team, you know, it's his league. When we lose, he lost in his own league, so, you know, I can't win for losing.
Well, that's true. Hey, Desmond, I want to thank you for putting on another great summer league. It's always a pleasure talking with you, and you've had another great year, and I know next year will be just as good. So congratulations for another year, and I also look forward to seeing your Lansing Everett team this year as well.
Yeah, thanks for the support over the years with the Moneyball Pro-Am, and yeah, we're going to go ahead and get out of there over at Everett High School, get these guys ready.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Desmond. We'll talk to you later on, my friend.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That's Desmond Ferguson, the new head coach of Lansing Everett. And, of course, he'll be running the Money Brawl Pro-Am League for the 10th year here in the mid-Michigan area. The time right now is 17 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. We've got a caller on the line. Hello, Mr. Tate. How you doing? Hello, you there? Hope he hung up. So we'll get back to him a little bit later. Hey, well, let's go to a break. We have a little break right now on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this break.
When Talk of the Nation wants to know if capitalism is working for Americans, we answer the phone. Virginia with us from Richmond in Virginia.
I did have a pension, but it was converted into a 401k. And for me, it's been a loser.
Jay's on the line with us from Aspen in Colorado.
The subprime mortgage market allowed me to get into a property that otherwise I wouldn't have been able to get into.
Join us, call us, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And the time is 18 minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock. And stay tuned for more sports talk at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870.
I'm Scott Pohl. Good to have you with us. Our weather forecast is calling for a high of 82 today with sunny skies. Mostly clear tonight, the low will be in the mid-50s. Warmer Tuesday, the high will be 88 and mostly sunny tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high of 85 expected on Wednesday.
And the time now is 19 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. We're going to chat with Carlton Valentine, the head coach of the Lansing Sexton Big Reds. And he's got a very tough task. He's graduated most of the players on their two-time state championship team. He's going to have a whole new team this year. So we'll talk with Coach Valentine, see how he's going to approach this year coming up here on AM 870. We'll talk with him. What's his expectations for the year? He had a lot of those kids play together for a long, long time, since elementary school all the way through high school. Now, of course, they're going their separate ways in colleges, so that'll be the challenge for him, and testing out and see how good the colleges will be, or how good his team will be. So let's bring in head coach Carlton Valentine and talk with him about his new approach, his new team coming up this year. Hey, Coach, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Earl, how you doing, man?
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to get you on today just to see, how do you feel? You worked out a lot with your team this summer. How do you feel about this team this year? You're the two-time state champion. I know it's going to be a heck of a challenge for you this year.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a challenge, and I'm looking forward to the challenge. You know, over the past three seasons, we've had remarkable success with a group of kids that we've developed from basically young childhood. So, you know, we got some new kids in the mix, and, you know, we're looking forward to the development of our younger players. Even though we have a couple veterans back, you know, we're looking for some guards to come in and just, they don't need to do anything outstanding, but just manage the game and make, you know, good basketball decisions and defend and those kind of things. You know, we spent a lot of time together this summer. You know, we had three different team camps I went to Michigan State's the Izzo Shootout. We went to Oakland University for a two-day camp, and then we also went to Eastern Michigan for a camp, and we also played 16 summer league games together. You know, a high school season is 20 basketball games. We played 32 this summer, so, and along with some practices and different things. So, you know, we'll see what happens. My expectations are the same, but I'm going to have to change some things as well. These aren't the same players. You know, these aren't the same basketball players or people that we've had before. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Now, do you change those expectations, what you expect, or do you maybe put expect as much from them? How do you deal with the expectations? As you know, fans, they'll probably still expect you to have another good team, but how do you deal with the expectations from your players and what you've got to teach them?
Yeah, you know, I don't think as a coach, you never lower your expectations. You set the bar really high, and then you hope that they can reach the bar. One thing I've learned as a coach is you never lower your expectations, but what you do is you set them high, and then you shoot for them, and then if you miss, well, maybe you're somewhere close, you know. So our expectation level is going to stay high, and, you know, the thing is that we've tried to develop a program, not just a basketball team. So, you know, we have to start all the way at the freshman level and get guys going the same thing, get them in the gym, you know, work on shooting, work on ball handling, work on defense, and, you know, those kind of things. You know, the fans, their expectations will be where they'll be, but quite honestly, the only expectations I live up to are the ones that I set for myself and the one we set for our coaching staff and our players. So at the end of the day, we can look in the mirror and feel good about what we're doing. So, you know, I never worry about anybody else's expectations, so that's just the way we roll.
Now, will you basically give a lot more individual, you think, this year with almost a whole new team? Will there be more individual instruction, more things, you know, just on the passing, you know, rebounding, and all the basic things they need to do? You think you have to emphasize just the basics a lot more this year?
Absolutely, Earl. You had it on the head, man. You come coach with me. we're gonna do a lot of basics, man, because you gotta when you get new guys, you have to teach them exactly what you want. And then they gotta play. You gotta, you know, hopefully you gotta find 8 or 9 guys that will play together, you know, with rhythm, with consistency and togetherness. And those are the elements of a good basketball team. It's not one player, two players. It's a group of guys playing together. Naturally, you need 12 guys to play together. But as you know, and I know, a basketball playing group is 8 players, 9, or possibly for foul trouble or, you know, fatigue. So you know, that's what we're looking for now. We have you know, Jalen Hayes coming back, 6'7" senior, who's a Division I prospect. He has about 8 or 9 Division I offers on the table right now. We got Trevor Manuel, the 6'9" sophomore to be, who's, you know, gonna be a great player. Not there yet, a lot of potential there. Gonna be a big time Division I prospect, but like I said, we gotta put some people around them. And Jalen's gonna have to be a leader. You know, he's gotta step up, and what Jalen has been the last 2 or 3 years for us is a great support player. Now he steps into a role of being a dominant player. You know, and I was talking to you yesterday, and I saw him play really huge out in Las Vegas this summer, you know, against some of the top players in the nation. So I think Jalen will be ready to take on that role.
Yeah, now you talked about that you're going to have to work, I guess, a lot harder at developing chemistry. Will that be something that will be difficult to do? Have you had problems with chemistry in the past, or does that sort of come naturally?
No, man. You're hitting everything on the head today. It's chemistry. Everything's chemistry. You know, I think back to my 2010 team, you know, we were 6-4, man. We lost to Owosso, man, and parents are coming out of the stands ready to kill me. You know, we had a players meeting, and, you know, the coaches were in there. And then eventually I told the coaches, I said, hey, we got to get out of here. This is their team. They got to figure it out together. And things have been different from there on in our program. So when you talk about chemistry, it's the guys. The coaches can't play together. You know, we can give instruction, we can teach, we can guide and direct, but the players have to play. And the players got to like each other. You know, if they don't like each other off the floor, they don't do things off the floor, that stuff will manifest itself out on the court when they play. So, you know, we've done some things this summer to try to build togetherness. You know, we stayed overnight at a camp. You know, we took the guys out to eat. They spent time together. Man, they played sand volleyball one night together. You know, they hung out at Drew's apartment in Oakland, and they laughed and joked and did a lot of crazy stuff together. You know, that stuff away from the court, and that's kind of what you got to do: get guys away from the court so they can kind of know each other, in order to build that camaraderie when it's time to play together as a team.
Okay. Got a caller for you. You got Mr. Tate from Atlanta. Mr. Tate, how you doing?
Pretty good. Mr. Robinson, Coach, how you guys doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay. How you doing?
Good. I'm blessed, man. Thank you for asking. Mr. Robinson, I appreciate you taking my call, man, as always. But I just had two questions, one of them being both of them being to the coach. The first one being back in when I used to live in Lansing, going to Walter French High School, Trevor Manuel, I know his dad, Jimmy, was my high school coach at that time. He was such a small little kid then. I can only imagine how tall and long he is now, almost 10 years later. But what can we possibly be talking about? What kind of conversation at its max peak could we be having about Trevor Manuel around this time next year? And that's just my first question. And my second one is being, will you guys ever end up playing outside of the state of Michigan during the season? I can't imagine you guys coming all the way as far south as Georgia, but how far south how close can I get to actually seeing a game? Thank you guys so much, and I'll just keep listening. Appreciate you taking my call.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. The first part of that is the sky's the limit for Trevor. You know, he's going to have to do some maturing. You know, the kid is 6'9". He played a critical role for us last year because he was a backup to Jalen Hayes, and sometimes he had to come in and play some critical minutes. Trevor is going to be, at this time next year, he'll be receiving all of his offers. He's already got a couple of Division I offers on the table right now. So the sky's the limit for Trevor, but he's got to continue to grow as a person. He's got to continue to grow as a basketball player and grow as a student as well. You know, he's got to make sure he's buckling down and taking care of things that he needs to. So the sky's the limit for Trevor Manuel. As far as traveling, the MHSAA does not allow teams to travel more than 200 miles away to play in a game, or teams can't travel for more than 200 miles away to play a Michigan team. So we'll be we're stuck in Michigan, or we can make it a little bit to Ohio, or maybe to Illinois, anything within 200 miles. And that's not my rule. That's the rule of the MHSAA. I would love to play some of the teams nationally, but that's just not going to happen if you live in the state of Michigan.
Carlton, now, when you mentioned Trevor Manuel and the thing that I know you know and I've known basically over the years, it takes big guys a little bit longer to develop. You know, not like guys. Guys seem to pick up things a lot quicker. But what's the reason? Why do you think it always takes the big guys a little bit longer to pick things up?
Yeah, bigs always develop a little bit slower, Earl, because, you know, they grow faster. And they have to work on their fine motor skills, the gross motor skills. It just takes them a little bit longer. That's why you always see the smaller guys are faster. They're quicker. They move quicker laterally. They usually probably jump higher because they develop, you know, those fine motor skills, gross motor skills a little bit quicker. And the great thing about Trevor, though, man, he's a hard worker. He works his tail off. I mean, he stays in the gym. It was funny because, you know, I demanded from him that every time he gets the ball around the rim that he dunk the basketball. And, you know, I don't accept anything else. I wanted him to dunk everything around the basket. So when he's in practice, we have him dunk every single thing around the basket. So it was amazing. He got his first dunk last year in the game, and he jumped up and he ran back and he was excited. And, you know, we talked about it after the game, and I was like, why are you excited? Well, I mean, we do that every day. That's the expectation of you. And after that, he had about 6, 7, maybe 8, 9 dunks maybe after that. So Trevor's a hard worker. He's going to continue to grow and develop. But, Earl, you hit it on the head. It takes bigs longer because of the motor skills.
And that is something, and it does help them. I mean, you give them such a incredible, you know, instructions to help them grow. And you know, all the big guys, you know, every big guy just doesn't grow. I mean, you know, sometimes I'll look at some guys, and you think they should be better than what they are. Do you think that people sometimes maybe put too much expectations on them? Because sometimes it just takes some guys to know it takes them a lot longer to get to that point than what others do.
Yeah. It always, there's always been unfair expectations on big guys, you know what I mean? Because they want you to always dominate. I mean, that happened to me as a player. I remember being a young player in the sixth and seventh grade and people yelling from the stands for me to be aggressive. And, you know, I had no idea what that was. be aggressive. It took me a few years to figure it out, you know what I mean? And quite honestly, I was working with some kids the other day. I said it doesn't matter if the parents want it, if the coach want it. It's kind of like a light turns on for that particular player. And like when light turns on, it's like they turn the corner and they never go back. But sometimes it just takes maybe a little bit longer for bigs to get into the kind of player that the potential for them, you know what I mean? And I always use that P word, potential, because big players always have potential, you know? So, yeah, it just takes a while. You're nailing them on the head today, Earl.
Now, being that you were a relatively, basically a small guy, but you had an inside game, you became an inside player. Can you help, and is that something that you can teach to the bigger guys, even though you are a smaller inside player? Can you help them develop a more of an inside game just because you've played that position as a youth?
Absolutely. You know, the thing about my game, I call it the gift and the curse, man. You know, being 6'5", 6'6", with my shoes on, you know, and quite honestly, at Michigan State, I played the four position. You know, I was an inside post player. And I try to use, you know, some of my skill and some of my know-how to help the younger players develop. You know, the first thing, man, with young players, I think, is that if they can learn how to get low post position, and just use their bodies. I think that's the biggest thing. Learning how to use your body. Use your body as a tool when you get around the basket. You know, being a relatively small, big man myself at 6'5", 6'6", you know, I had to develop a jump hook shot. You know, something.
Yeah.
I went against a 6'9", 6'10", every night in practice. Every time I strapped them on and played in the Big Ten, I went against a 6'9", or 6'10". So I learned how to use my body and get different angles and how to body up on big guys. So I definitely will teach all of our players to how to get that low post position. Absolutely.
Now, like you say, you shot a hook shot for the most part. As you know, that's a shot that's just barely existent today. Hardly any big men shoot a low post doing a hook shot. Do you teach that at all? Can you get guys, or is that something that, you know, guys fight that because they don't really want to try a hook shot?
Well, you know, it's a different hook now. When Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had it, it was the sweeping sky hook. Coach Heathco calls it the roll hook. Now it's more, I mean, you don't have that much time to get that off, so guys are shooting a one-bounce power jump hook. And that's pretty much what I used to use, a one-bounce power jump hook. And, you know, you can teach young guys how to do that. Matter of fact, we do teach it. But, you know, a lot of people... It's all perimeter now, man. Everybody wants dribble drive, man. Everybody want to be Dirk Nowitzki, KG. You got 7-footers facing up and attacking the basket, man. So, no, I try to teach those low post moves. You know, I have, you know, three basic moves that I teach guys in the post, and they require no dribble. And when I teach those, the kids look at me like I'm crazy because they think you have to put the ball on the floor to score. And I'm like, These should be your basic fundamental building blocks. You got drop, step, up and under, and step through. Those are your basic three. And then from there, you expand on it. Then you get your jump hook. And then you get your two dribble move and quick spin and those things. But, no, man, I try to teach those kids those low post things, man. Whether they use it, that's up to them.
Now, both your kids are basically guards. They're guards or small forwards, and some maybe a little bit of power forward. How did you get them to develop all their low post, and not their low post game, but their guards game and their skill as guards?
Well, you know, that's funny you ask that, because my big thing with my own two sons was that I didn't want them pigeonholed to playing a post position. You know what I mean? I think that kind of held me back a little bit. I never really expanded my game as a player until I left Michigan State, and I had a chance to play professionally. I played in the World Basketball League for 3 seasons and played in Sweden for 3 seasons. So actually, I became more of a face-up player, and that gave me a chance to develop my face-up skills, you know, being able to put the ball on the deck, use my right hand, use my left hand, drive and score and those kind of things. And kind of drove me to saying, hey, you know, if I ever had kids, you know, I don't want them to always play with their back to the basket if they're going to be 6'5", you know, because that will definitely pigeonhole you when it's time to get to the collegiate level, you know, if they had a chance to do that. So, you know, I spent a lot of time with the ball handling. I mean, if you watch Denzel and Drew play, they're very good with the basketball. That's hours and hours and hours and hours of two-ball dribble, of working change of direction, acceleration moves, of doing the square up drill with your head up, and they probably don't like me very much. they're okay now, and you know, I'm not the only coach that taught them. They had other coaches along the way to help them with their guard skills. But I know at a younger age that was a point of emphasis with me and helping my own two sons is, you know, working on the ball skills. You know, becoming proficient with your left hand. You know, make sure you have full vision. You know, use your peripheral vision. Keep your head up, see the floor, and those kind of things. And then, you know, they watch a lot of basketball. You got to watch basketball and not just play it. You know, I always tell the kids, know your history, know the game, know the players that came before you. Watch them and see what they did. And so Drew and Denzel did that. You know, they had a chance to be around me. They saw me play a little bit coming up when I could still play a little bit. And saw the players that I played with and against, and then, you know, it just happened over time.
Yes, yeah. How did Denzel's, as you say, he's got such a great skill, and he can anticipate where people are going, and that's something that guys have to develop. He was able to develop that. He's such a good passer. You know, his skill is probably a lot better than most point guards. I mean, a lot of people believe he can be a point guard. I think he can play a point guard if he's asked. But how did he develop those point guard skills of his?
Yeah, Denzel has always had a good feel for the game. You know, I don't take a lot of credit with that. You know, I think it's a combination of him watching, of him playing with his older brother, Drew, and as a younger kid, he was always watching. You know, he's 3 years behind Drew and his crew and those guys he played with. He was always, like, playing with them, so he had to find some way to fit. you know, I think his niche was playing point guard, you know what I mean, and being able to see the floor, and he had to find to do something else that someone else doesn't do. You know, if you're not a post guy, you don't rebound, and you're not in there dominating. Do something on the offensive end, and Denzel really, 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 I think at a young age, there was actually a guy who coaches with me, Alan Kane. I'll give him some credit with that. He had Denzel playing point guard on a 10 and under team. And actually, he was playing point center because he was taller than everybody else. So he had to learn how to handle the ball, be a good passer, and get everybody involved. Another thing that helped both of those guys is that they're both quarterbacks. You know, Drew holds the season passing record at Sexton High School for yards passing in the season. And so Denzel was a quarterback as well, going all the way through the Cap Express, through the Mid-Michigan Football League. And you got to be able to make reads. You know, you got to see where the guy is going. You got to read the safety. You got to see the corner. And being a quarterback,
kind of helps you with your vision.
Yeah, so you've really developed both kids very well. They're gone off to college now. What do you think about the Moneyball Pro-Am Summer League? I know you've been out there for quite a few years. How do you think the league has developed?
Well, I'll just say, you know, all credit goes to Desmond Ferguson, you know, for a guy who even brought a summer league to the Lansing area. You know, I grew up in Washington, D.C., and, you know, watching the Urban Coalition Summer League, where I saw some of, I think, the greatest basketball players, like, to ever play the game, you know. I was waiting for something like that to come to this area, you know what I mean? And I think all credit goes to Dez and Moneyball. But, you know, I think he's done a good job at getting participation. You know, he gets the Michigan State players out. This year was one of the smaller years I've seen the Moneyball. I know the previous season, last year, Central Michigan's whole team was down here, Trey Ziegler and those guys. U of D had a team down here. Then he had some of the D3 schools. I know Kalamazoo College had a team, and Albion had a team. So I've seen it, you know, go up, and I've seen it go down. I'm just glad that theirs has, you know, kept that thing alive, man. It's tough when you're trying to put on stuff. You got to have a lot of support. And I just enjoy watching summer basketball. Being a basketball junkie, you never get enough of it. So I really enjoyed watching that game yesterday. It was typical summer ball. You know, typical summer ball. We watched that game, you know, go down to the last shot. They shoot the wind out of there, but it's summer ball. And, you know, I have fun watching it, man.
Okay. Carlton, hey, I want to thank you for being with me today. As you know, it's always a pleasure talking with you. We'll be talking a lot more as the season gets around. It gets a little bit closer, so it's always good talking to you, my friend.
Okay, hey, Earl, thanks for having me, man, and we'll talk soon.
Okie dokie. Hey, see you later, Carlton. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Carlton Valentine, the head coach of Lansing Sexton's Big Reds, as he'll be coming back to defend or see what they do. The two-time defending state champion, they'll be back for another season, and he'll be back for another season this year. The time is 43 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Much of what we know about the brain comes from research by the military. Still, former Army Vice Chief of Staff Peter Chiarelli says his biggest frustration remains
just how much we don't know.
I'm Neil Cowan, improving treatment and understanding of the brain. Join guest host Tom Jelton next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
We have a sunny forecast, and we're expecting a high today of 82 degrees. Mostly clear and a low of 55 overnight. Tuesday will be mostly sunny and warmer, the high tomorrow in the upper 80s, and mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s expected on Wednesday. This is Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, of course, we've been talking a lot of basketball, but as you all know, just about everyone in the Mid-Michigan area knows, football season is underway. Practice has started in high school, and the high school's team started their practice today. Michigan State started their practice today, as teams all around the Big Ten starting their fall practice. So we'll talk a little bit of Big Ten football. We had a chance to meet and talk with Mark D'Antonio today as they had their first media conference today. But also, they had a practice and a chance for us to get out and talk with Mark on Saturday. That was their first practice, in not with pads on, of course, everything, just in scales. And so we had the chance to talk with him. And I asked Mark, basically, how did that first practice go?
It's too early to tell. You know, everybody's excited on the first day. You know, things will start to move a little slower after day five. We'll see how we come. But, you know, we have a good nucleus of players here. Got good skill. We got some big guys that can move. So, you know, we're looking forward to great things. But with that being said, we have to understand that, you know, injuries play a part in this, how you reflect each day and how you get better. And we need to get better in certain areas.
Yes, and we also had a chance to talk with Mark. How does he plan on developing leadership?
It's always, you know, that's a transitional type thing. So we've got 29 practices before Boise, and, you know, we got four games before we go into the Big Ten season. So during that process, I think our guys are going to, you know, show who are the leaders. So that's difficult to say, you know, when that time comes. Usually leaders are, you know, are formed in tough times. That's when you see them emerge. So we'll wait for those tough times. We'll see who emerges. We'll try and create some of those, but certainly you can't create them all. And so somebody will rise to the occasion. I think we got a good nucleus of seniors and really a good group of juniors, probably 20-plus juniors. A lot of those guys are ready to assume that leadership responsibility.
So, yes, they'll be getting better as the season goes along, and they'll find out eventually who the leaders of the team will be. Like he says, that just takes time. It'll take the guys to being around each other. You know, you just can't make someone a leader. They have to have some natural skills at that. So we'll just see how that goes when the team develops enough leaders and enough guys who want to take charge. Right now, let's go to the phones, and we've got Todd with us. Todd, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Earl. What a beautiful day, huh? Got to be eating days like today, huh?
It is a lovely, lovely day. And football practice has started, so that even makes it better.
Amen to that. As far as everybody knows, everybody passed their classes. There wasn't anybody that wasn't there because they didn't maybe make it to class or anything. As far as everybody knows, everybody's eligible and everybody's ready to go.
Yeah, that's right.
There was nobody there in a cast or, you know, with a broken arm or anything that anybody...
Nope, no injuries. No injuries so far.
Well, yeah,
we'll have them during the year, but nothing right at the start.
Yeah, well, that's the way to start. If you got everybody that can play, and they're healthy, then you got a chance. Now, these are my two questions, I guess. Did they say when they were going to elect the captains? I know a lot of people don't care about that, but...
They usually do it every year right before the season starts. So I imagine it'll be the same this year.
Okay, and then I just wanted you know, I'm sure you've seen it both ways. But let's be honest, it's happened in Michigan State in the past. So I'm not particularly pointing a finger at other schools, but compared to if you want to look at the Monty Ball situation, I know Iowa had to kick a running back off their team up in Ann Arbor. Had a drunk driving incident or allegation. Do you think this season, and knock on whatever you got next to Michigan State, has been relatively free of off-field incidents? Not that they're all choirs or choir boys or have halos on their heads. We all know better than that. But in your mind or in your opinion, does a quiet off-season, I know it doesn't necessarily translate to wins or losses, but is it a reflection of maybe the leadership on the team and what the coaching staff has? I mean, again, I know something's going to happen. There's, what,
110 guys out there.
Yeah,
yes.
And Michigan State will have their turn at it. But do you think the fact that they've had a quiet off season so far with none of that stuff, do you think that bodes well and shows that these are kids who are committed to what they want to do and maybe realize how special this football team could be? Thanks a lot, Earl.
Okay, thank you. I think that has a little bit to do with it for sure. The guys, they really are committed to the team, and everyone I talked to today, they echoed those sentiments. So they really are committed to the team and the team goals and their goals. Most of them have strong goals, and a lot of the guys, do want to graduate and just go to class, and not just go to class and stay eligible. A lot of those guys are looking forward to graduation and are working hard towards getting graduation. And of course, all guys don't, and some guys maybe just giving lip service to graduation and graduating, but it seems like they're mostly really sincere about finishing their degree and doing all the work they need to do that. And I think that's one thing that's come a long way, is guys really knowing they have a great chance and a great opportunity, and they want to take advantage of it. Most guys that are here now, you see they really want to take advantage. They want to get their degree. They want to move on in life, and I know the coaches are doing a good job of teaching them about things other than football. They just don't teach them football. They teach them about life and how to conduct themselves off the field. That's been a big part of the program as well. So it looks like they are, I really do believe they are headed in the right direction. The time now, 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Well, we had a chance to talk to them about one other thing, and that's about what the predictions are for this year. Mark, do you or some of the players use some of the motivation from what people have predicted where Michigan State may finish during the season?
No, I really don't. I mean, we put it up there for people to see, but, you know, a couple years ago we went 11-1, and, you know, nobody picked us at all. So, you know, I think in 2009 we were picked maybe third in the conference. We didn't do so well. So I think there's predictions for people who don't play the game right now and who don't see us up front and personal. The people that can make the predictions are these people out here, and I say all the time to our guys, the only thing that's important to me is what we think about in this room and what's being said in this room with 105 players and how we feel about each other. We can build on those things.
And that's what you heard. So you'll see how the team goes this year. They will build on what they're learning and what they've done. I talked with the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator today. They both are. And my concern was when I try to get a central theme each year, my concern is how good do you think and what they're going to say. They basically told me the backups are going to develop, like with Andrew Maxwell, the quarterback. How good is Connor Cook? Is he ready to step in if Maxwell gets hurt or the other guys? Or is that an open competition for the backup spot? And that's what the quarterback coach, Dave Warner, said. Well, they think Connor Cook's made a lot of progress, but they are holding an open competition, basically, to see who will be the backup quarterback and some of the other positions backing up. I talked with the receivers coach about that as well. And they're looking at a lot of the guys to be and fill those roles as backups. They think they're going to be pretty good starters on the offensive side and on the defensive side, the starter. But how good will the backups be? They've got a lot of depth, especially on the defensive side. They've got some good depth on the offensive side. So you'll see a lot of quality players come forth this year on the Michigan State football team as they develop during the season. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So just take a look at the team, and as it goes along, as Todd is talking about, we'll see how the leadership will develop. That's going to develop over time. Most of the leaders, as many of you know, most of the leaders have gone on to the pros or graduated and are moving on. So, you know, you're going to have a new set of leaders this year, and you won't tell anything from the first couple of days of practice. That just takes time to develop, and we'll see who they are eventually. And and the players will elect the captains. The coaches don't appoint them. The players will elect who they believe are the players who have the most leadership skills. So that's something that will come along, and eventually we'll all see who the leaders are will be for this year's football team. Hey, give us a gig. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. As you know, Michigan State has won two back-to-back 11-game seasons, and I asked Andrew Maxwell, is there any pressure on that? Is there any pressure on him to try to keep going the two 11-game seasons? And he told me he didn't think there was pressure. He just said it's just pressure being the starting quarterback, but he didn't think there would be additional pressure just to follow the fact that they've had two straight 11-game seasons that they've won. They've won a lot of games. So we'll just have to wait and see how it goes. I mean, every time at the beginning of the year, a lot of players will play it close to the vest. They'll give you nice conservative answers, tell you that yes, they should be good, should be better. They have very high expectations. Players always have high expectations of themselves, and they're no different. These young guys are no different from any other team. They've got a team with very high expectations, and they should be very good this year, as it's going to be a very good team. Now, let's turn our attention to the Olympics. We've had some great Olympic Games. And Aaron, I was very impressed with Usain Bolt, who won who matched his championships back-to-back years, 100-meter champion, the first since Carl Lewis to do it. He's had two back-to-back runs, and he's very impressive. We'll see him now in the 200, and can he get a double win with the 100 and 200?
Yeah, I mean, he was quite impressive last night. I mean, if you look at the numbers, I mean, he set an Olympic record, last night. If you think about it, he actually won that pretty easily for a 100-meter. I mean, usually I'm sure the amount that he won by may seem, you know, wow, that's really close. But in reality, when it comes to these kind of races, that's actually a pretty, you know, pretty good margin. So, yeah, I felt like he won that with pretty good ease. He had a great start. And then, you know, he kicked it in right at the end there. So, and you could tell the other guys weren't able to do that. So, yeah, I'll be curious to see how the 200 goes. I mean, you know, I expect him to win the 200 too, but, you know, the 100 meter doesn't take a lot of energy out of him. So I think he should still have plenty of energy. And I mean, if anyone knows him and his personality, he thrives off this stuff. I mean, he's so loose. He's so relaxed. Some people have said he kind of has a cocky attitude, but frankly, I think it's a fun attitude that he has, because I think he realizes it helps him stay relaxed, and the crowds, everyone loves him. So, you know, I expect him to do well in the 200.
Oh, yeah, I would expect him to. He like you say, he stays very relaxed. He doesn't get uptight. I mean, he's had a lot of criticism this year because he lost those races earlier, and he just was determined to show, hey, I'm still the same old Usain Bolt, and I can still win races. And that's what he's done. He's really showed that he's really one. He is the best sprinter in the world right now.
Yeah, he is. Now, is the 200, is that his last one, or does he get
one? Other than relay.
Relay, okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I expect him to do great. I mean, he is the best, but, you know, it was good to see the U.S. get a silver.
Got a silver.
Yeah,
yes.
Silver last night, which was good to see. But, you know, we'll take it because, I mean, the odds of us, of anyone beating Bolt there was pretty slim.
Yes, it was, and it'll be interesting to watch it. The rest of the games left, and the rest of the guys. Track and field has been pretty good. I mean, Americans have done pretty well in track and field, and they've done thus far pretty well. And we'll just have to keep watching and to see how they go. And I finally had a chance to watch some of my sport. I watched a little boxing over the weekend, and of course, we only have one American left here on the male side, and a couple of the young ladies are still on the women's side. But wasn't a good year for the American boxers, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, that's how it goes. I mean, I don't know. I would have to look at the numbers. I don't know how the dominance has been for the U.S. in boxing, but I can't imagine it's been all that great, but maybe it has. I could be wrong in that.
In past years, but hasn't been that great this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, at least we got one left. I see the women, like you said, got a couple left, which is good to see. I mean, you know, but Olympic boxing is always a little bit different than, you know, your typical boxing. So, you know, it's kind of it's boxing, but it's a little bit different than what, you know, people that are, you know, I guess more used to. But, you know, we got people in it still, so that's what counts.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, we're just about out of time, so make sure you come back and join us tomorrow here on WKAR, and we'll look at other things going on in the world of sports. We'll take a little bit closer look at football tomorrow and talk with some of the players and some of the coaches on how they think this year is going to go, and that's always intriguing to just get their thoughts and things on how they're going to be looking at this year. Had a chance to talk with the coach of the receivers, Terrence Mills, Samuels, and we talk with him about the receivers, and he's got a lot of good receivers. Of course, a lot of them are unknown, so they're still learning the basics of being a receiver at the collegiate level. So that's one thing. So, hey, I want to thank you all for listening, and thank you all for calling. Invite you to come back and join us tomorrow here on AM 870. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up and talk sports right here on AM 870, WKAR. So have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening. We'll see you tomorrow right here on AM 870, WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.